Moneyline, Willie DeMace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. Hey, tune in for Nashville Sounds Baseball today at 5:05 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Charlotte Knights, the AAA affiliate of the Chicago White Sox. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, we got some breaking news on Friday that the Arizona Cardinals released wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins. In your opinion, should the Titans pursue D-Hop?
You know, I don't think so. You know, D-Hop had a little list, too. I'm not sure that the Titans necessarily fit his list either. And I think that probably, like, recent memory with veteran receivers that the Titans have tried to sign to have it work out, just doesn't feel like that would necessarily be the right fit. It sounds like Kansas City could be interested. It sounds like Cleveland could maybe be interested. And so I think there'll be probably other teams that are more desperate to add him. And with that being the case, Buffalo, another one in the mix there. But that being the case, like, I would not go chase that if I were the Tennessee Titans.
Why not?
You know, I just think he's 31 years old. The production of the last 2 years, albeit some of it a suspension, last year, he also was injured, 2 years prior to that. And, receiver is a position that, look, it's not all that different than running back. Like, it's a young, fast man's game. And I think that when you start to get with older guys, there are just other issues in terms of, can they practice? Can they still run? Like, all of those things. And look, I think the Titans experienced it with Julio Jones. And so I just think you got to be careful for it. Look, if it's a team-friendly deal, sure. But if you have other people interested and you're competing for them, then I'm not as crazy about it.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Do you expect anything to happen with D-Hop before June 1st? I'm thinking a lot of teams after the June 1st or right as June 1st comes, then you will see a lot of cuts made, and then teams can sort of add to their roster, whether you're looking at Buffalo, the Chargers. He mentioned Baltimore, Philadelphia. Some of these teams that may be strapped, Kansas City, some of these teams that may be strapped, that he doesn't sign with a team until after June 1st.
Well, and I think there's an interesting scenario here, because I think he's officially released at 4 o'clock today, or, presumably right around then. And then, the other aspect of it is I think he just hired a new agent. Maybe he was not currently represented by one, so maybe not new, but hired an agent. So, like, that might even be a signal of, hey, what's the market? Like, what is out there? And I could see there being some patience with, both on his side and then also on the team side. I think it's clear, like, most guys that play receiver that have made a lot of money, like, when they're free, like, they're expecting to make the same type of money. And if you look at some of these spots, like, I would have said to you, look, Seattle, like, prior to the draft, like, would Seattle be a team that could be interested in him? I'd be like, oh, I could totally see that. And, but then they draft a receiver high. And so now it's like they're off the list. And so I think, to me, it's somewhat surprising when I look at it to say, like, well, like, find the landing spot. Like, you mentioned Baltimore. Like, really? Like, Baltimore drafts a receiver in the first round. Like, they sign Odell. Like, they've got another high draft pick at the position. Like, I don't see, it's hard to catch 100 balls in that offense. So, like, I don't see that as a good fit. Like, to me, the one I think is dangerous is Cleveland. There's just such a history, between, quarterback and receiver, and then with some restructures that are going on in Cleveland, to your point about June 1, I think they get like $11 million in cap space here in early June. So that would be a team I would keep an eye out for.
Now, what about New England? Because obviously New England, yeah, they sort of came out of the box. We know what D-Hop said on the podcast. These are the five quarterbacks that I would love to play with. He never mentioned New England and their quarterback, but now New England is being thrown in, obviously because of Bill Belichick. His admiration or the way he looks at D-Hop is glowingly. So is that a team that we need to be paying attention to?
I mean, think so. How is he with Bill O'Brien?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. But reunited. Bill might trump O'Brien, you know?
Hey, I've heard there's history there.
Yeah. It's right. Like, so, that's why, I mean, listen, probably lesson in life, man. Like, look, you know, I could get along with everyone, but, like, sometimes these things, and especially in this game, like these things come back around. And, look, I don't know that he's necessarily chasing money, but if he also was talking about, like, going and playing with a really good quarterback, I think that there are some places we could probably cross off the list. I think New England would probably be one that's crossed off the list.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, I envision here is where I think a lot of Titans fans will envision this, and this is sort of the cautionary tale. This is why I wonder what Titans fans really think, is they've had a few days to have this process a little bit in their minds, because he's that shining new toy. He's like, oh, he's free, we can go get him. He would probably envision being the number one receiver here for the Titans. I mean, we know they don't really have a true number one, certainly not an established guy. But the question everybody's sort of asking around the league is, at this stage of his career, he's really 3 years removed from having number one receiver kind of numbers for a full season. And so as he's about to turn 31, could he have a bounce back season where he is a true number one? I know Derek's got his thoughts, but what do you think of this in a perfect scenario?
Yeah. Look, I mean, I think there's a chance. But I think that, like, if you're kind of planning on that and investing in that, I think that
buyer beware.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're taking a risk. Like, I guess, like, would that be the outlier for a receiver who's had two down years for different reasons to, at age 31, go to somewhere new and get back to number one receiver level? So I think you'd have to, like, go back and like, do research and be like, all right, has anyone ever done that? Like, I mean, honestly, if anyone has, it's going to be fewer than three guys ever, right? And so I think that, like, that would concern me. And then the other side of it ends up being this. Kevin Stefanski has to win in Cleveland. He has to. Otherwise, you're going to get fired. And so, you know, they have a quarterback who's got a ton of leverage because he's making so much money. And, you know, they probably need to keep him happy. And he's trying to get good players around him. And his number one receiver is now, from his time in Houston when he had the most success in his career, is now a free agent.
Here's the flip side, too. Oh, sorry. Keep going.
Yeah, well, I was just going to say, and now you pair him with Amari Cooper, and, you know, now all of a sudden you're like, you know what? Like, Cleveland doesn't look too shabby. And by the way, if you're in the AFC, and we all know this, and you're Cleveland, you thought you were a pretty good team, but you got a coach that's going to be trying to keep his job. And, oh, by the way, you're competing with all these other teams that have a ton of firepower.
Yeah, I mean, Cleveland. And if you want to roll in the AFC, you better bring it, right? It's come big or stay home. This is the flip side I was going to ask you about, Tim, quickly, is I always wonder, too, a receiver like Hopkins, who's used to being the guy that's going to be targeted 10 or more times a game. He gets passes thrown his way. He is the man. Could he be a role player on a Philadelphia? Let's say he takes the approach of, I just want to win. I want to go on a team that has a chance to win. Adjusting and becoming a role player is not always easy for a guy like that.
No, and that was my concern when I talked to you guys about Julio Jones. Julio Jones, when he joined the Titans, at that point in his career, he was the most targeted receiver in the history of the NFL.
He was. I remember you saying that.
He averaged like 10 targets a game. So it's like, all right, hey, now you're gonna come here. You're gonna get games where you get like three balls thrown your way, and you might catch one of them. How do you handle that? And listen, D. Mace would be better, you know, explaining this than I am. But I just remember Joey Galloway going to, I forget where it was, like Washington and New England or somewhere like that. He had been a number one, and he essentially was like the third wide receiver, and he was playing like 15 snaps a game. And he was like, man, my body just doesn't work like this. Like, I can't like stand on the side freezing cold all game long and then like go run an option route and then like come back on the sideline for five more plays. Like, football has never been like that for me, and it's not about to be.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, some news about Jimmy Garoppolo failed his physical. Now, if I'm the Raiders, I'm kind of scrambling. They've got good pieces around the quarterback. You know, you have Devontae Adams, you have Josh Jacobs, you got Hunter Renfrow. I mean, the Raiders could potentially be just a solid starting quarterback away from competing in the AFC. Do you think that Ryan Tannehill could be an attractive trade piece to the Raiders, given Jimmy Garoppolo's situation?
You know, I don't, because of his contract. I mean, it's just but that's why I just have kind of always felt through this entire process that, you know, that Ryan Tannehill was more of a candidate for extension, meaning just like, okay, sign a new deal, give him some money, right, and then spread it out, than like, hey, we're going to trade you and somebody else is going to assume your current deal, or we cut you. Like, I think that's the case. And then I would say this, because of how the Garoppolo stuff happened, you know, his injury history, the fact that this showed up in the physical, you know, I don't know all the details. It sounds like there is a, you know, a clause in the contract where there's going to be an out for the Raiders if the foot injury becomes an issue again, which is not, you know, players in general, much less quarterbacks, typically are not signing contracts that are letting teams get out of, you know, kind of get off the hook, you know, based on an injury. So the fact that that's in there, I think, is significant. And it sounds like if he plays 2023 healthy, then, you know, they're committed to him for 2024. But so I think the Raiders are kind of in this situation where, like, hey, we're committed to you, but, like, not totally married to you yet until you prove it. And so I think they would just go younger, other routes rather than exploring Ryan Tannehill.
Tim, appreciate you as always. We will chat with you next week.
Sounds good. See you guys.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. A little bit of a shorter meeting with Tim Hasselbeck this week. He has some TV duties, but coming up next, I want to react to what Tim Hasselbeck said about DeAndre Hopkins. He said the Titans should not pursue him, listed a myriad of reasons. Let's react to that coming up next, because frankly, I disagree. Caroline Willie D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.